Hey, you asked me about stories and stories, and I could tell, you know, after 13 years, I had a lot of stories to tell. And I was on David Letterman show quite a bit, and I was on Jay Leno, but I think the nicest man I was on ever on his show was Johnny Carson. He was absolutely, I mean, he was a gem. You thought I was the star, and I was asking him questions. And he asked me a question about football. I thought he'd fall off the stool laughing at it. And I was only being serious.
What was the question?
Well, he asked me all kinds of questions. And then before I went on his show, I was in a room they call the green room. I'm in there all by myself. I said, what the hell am I going to do in here for an hour waiting to go on the show? And, you know, and you're a little nervous. Not a lot, because if he asked me, if I know more football than he does. The guy knocks on the door, and he said, hey, Mr. Dunham, you know, we got a lot of people that's going to be on the show next room. They don't have enough room. Can I open the door? I said, sure, go ahead. I'll have somebody to talk to. They opened the door, and all these damn animals come in. It was the lady from the San Diego Zoo. I ran out of the goddamn room and ran upstairs. He had to come and find me.
Let's talk about your family at Christmas. First of all, let's go back to your childhood. Okay. What kind of Christmas was at the Donovan house growing up when you were a toddler and, you know, even into elementary school? What was Christmas like?
Well, I lived in a neighborhood where my grandmother was the matriarch. She came from Ireland. She raised a big family. Her husband, who was a big gardener at the Bronx Botanical Gardens, he died when he was 49. So my grandmother was the matriarch of the whole neighborhood. And I was her pride and joy because I was the first grandson. Had one older, but he died of the flu. So Christmas Eve, I was an altar boy. And my mother, grandmother used to make me get all dressed up as an altar boy. And she paraded me around the neighborhood, telling everybody, here's Arthur, my grandson. He's an altar boy. You know what I was? I sat on the altar on a little bench for 2 hours. I was a bench warmer. I didn't even know the prayers.
You didn't even ring the bells or anything?
No. I wanted to be, but by the time I became an altar boy, they didn't ring the bells. They had buttons they pressed.
So what was Christmas Eve like when you got home? Did you open gifts on Christmas Eve, or did you have to wait till the morning?
No, we all waited till the morning, and we lived up the street. But everything was done at my grandmother's house. We'd get up, and my cousins, I had 12 cousins lived on two streets. We'd all be at the house, and they'd have all the names of who did. And you know what? They used to hang up the stocks in the chimney, and the only thing I ever got was cold. And everybody else got good gifts. And I said, hey, Grandma, how come? Not me. She says, Arthur, me boy, there's money in cold.
And an altar boy, too.
Yeah.
What was your favorite gift that you got as a little guy?
A set of Lionel trains, the big gauge trains. And you know what? I still have them packed away somewhere, in this house. This is a big house, an 8-bedroom house. And it may be up in the attic. It may be over at the clubhouse in the attic. I don't know. But there were four big trains. And I left it run in my grandmother's house around a Christmas tree. I forgot to turn the transformer off. The next day, the house was full of smoke, and the transformer burned a hole right through my grandmother's rug. I near got killed.
And you wonder why you got coal for Christmas.
But it was wonderful. It was great.
How many siblings did you have growing up?
Well, now we have five and a lot of... What do you mean by
brothers
siblings?
And sisters.
Oh, I only had one sister. She just completed 63 years at Merrill Lynch. She's the senior vice president there, and she still goes to work. I say, Joan, haven't you made enough money? She lives on Fifth Avenue and 51st Street. Now, how good can you get? And I always say, Joan, if you die before me, don't forget your brother.
I think we probably...
I thought you were cuddling up to me.
This is a G-rated show. Easy. Well, Arthur, here at the party, you have a very special guest with you. I'm going to let you introduce her because she is the boss.
She is the boss ever since we got married. If I wrote a check, it would bounce. She is the boss. And when I met her, I said, somebody introduced it to me. And I said, would you like to go out? And we went to a place called Andy's Bar on Greenmont Avenue in Cold Spring Lane. And we got to talk and talk. And I said to her, well, what do you do for a living? And she says, I'm a pharmacist. I said, get the hell out of here, pharmacist. I never heard of a lady pharmacist. So she was. And I said, well, would you like to go out tomorrow night? And she says, no. I said, well, that's the end of the romance. She says, I got to play the piano in an all-girl orchestra. I said, well, maybe either this girl is the biggest BS artist I ever made, or she's for real. The next day, I went over to a drugstore. Then she had her druggist outfit on. I said, hey, you are for real. And that was the beginning of the end.
Well, let's run that past Dottie. How much of that is true?
Yeah, it's pretty true. You know, when he was the type that never really talked to a lot of girls, but he turned toward me. We were with a group at Andy's, and he said to me, as people make conversations, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a pharmacist. He said, a what? I said, I'm a pharmacist. So and then he said to me, well, he wanted to ask me out. So then he said, well, what are you doing? Can we go out tomorrow night? I said, no, we can't. And he said, well, why not? I said, because I'm playing an all-girl orchestra. And he said, you're either very unusual or you're the worst liar I've ever come across. But he came with about four football players the next day to check me out at the drugstore.
Now, did you know who he was?
I was not, no. And the ironic part was when George Young was also with this group. And as you know, George was, what was all George?
He became the general manager of the Giants.
General manager of the Giants, but at that time he was probably at Calvert Hall,
as a coach at Calvert Hall.
So he knew me. So when he saw that I wasn't paying attention to him, he said to me, Dottie, do you know who he is? I said, look, I don't know. I don't know who he is. And I had just started to pass some pictures around that I had come back from California that my sorority had sent me out to the Hollywood Roosevelt. My sorority sent me out. And while we were there, there were pictures that were taken, and which I never knew who these men were, but somebody kept saying they were important, and I had the pictures taken. So I'm passing these pictures around to everybody. I'm passing it to Artie, and he said, oh, that's Max Bear and Buddy Bear. I said, who are they? He said, well, my father refereed their fights. I said, well, that's good. So when George Jugg said to me, Dottie, do you know who Art is over there? I said, look, I don't know who he is, and I don't know who his father is. I don't know either one of them. No, I was not. While you were in college yourself, you didn't get the opportunity to follow professional football. You predominantly were following college football. So, and I don't think there were that many Marylanders were really following the Colts at that time. But no, I had no idea. I didn't follow him at all. I didn't know him from a bag of beans.
Didn't know him from a bag of beans, but yet you accepted him. The courtship, the marriage, and here we are. How many years later?
Oh, I think 53, 54. I don't know how many is. We're married 56. What's it come? 56? It's only about 53 years.
Oh,
like
that was only 2 years ago.
Oh, darling.
And we're still on our honeymoon.
Yeah.